So let's turn over to, I want to turn to first to Timothy, to Ephesians. Chapter 4. And you know, our warrant for believing, the reason that we believe what we believe, is because the Spirit of God has taken the Word of God and implanted it in our hearts. And therefore we believe. And He is, and Christ Jesus has put His Spirit within us, which is the Spirit of truth, and therefore when we hear the truth, we're able to believe the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, I think every preacher's probably had the sad experience of going into churches and preaching the truth where people sit and look at you with big holler eyes, and they can't hear, they can't understand a word you're saying. They don't know what you're talking about. Because the Spirit of truth is not in them to bear witness with the truth. And where that Spirit is, there's a knowledge of the truth and satisfaction in hearing the truth and comfort in hearing the truth. And people know the truth when they hear it. So, our warrant for believing what we believe, the reason we believe what we believe, is it's the Word of God, and that it bears witness with the truth that Christ has put in us, by putting in us the Spirit of truth. 1 John 14:17. He'll give you the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you in the Old Testament, and shall be in you in the New Testament, and he is in us. But now, all of these billions of members, he shall see his seed, the whole body. Without the loss of the least part, all his children are going to be gathered to glory with him, and he's going to say to the Father, "Behold, I and the children which God hath given me." Amen. He shall see his seed.
Amen.
He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It's the pleasure of the Lord that God get, that Christ gathered together in himself all his seed that are scattered out all over this whole world, and bring them to glory in himself, in one body in Christ.
Amen.
Now, the administration of that body. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is the administration of the body of Christ. How is it that he conducts all of the affairs of all of his people scattered out all over the world and causes it to be one church moving toward one end? Well, he gave them gifts. Look at Psalm, well, let's just, we'll come back to Ephesians, but look at Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And we'll begin our reading in verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Now that is the Lord's desire. Mysterious as it is, that is the Lord's desire, that he has desired to dwell among his people. Mm-hmm. Make me a sanctuary, Exodus 25:8, that I may dwell among them. Mm-hmm. Look at Revelation 21:3. Revelation 21:3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with me. And he's accomplished what he is determined. And it's with a chosen people. His people that he loved and known and thought on from everlasting. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now we're enduring the afflictions of the gospel, the afflictions of this life, the afflictions of this world, the afflictions that we endure in this wilderness. We're enduring those for just a moment. And it won't be long till we lay aside all of the labors and tortures of this life and enter into that blissful glory that we have already in Jesus Christ. It's already laid up for us. But God's administration of his church in this world, that's what we want to talk about. So look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now we can aim at that. We can aim at that. And the children of God do aim at that. They desire. But they can never meet it. And we just can't do it. It doesn't lie in us, in these bodies of flesh, because of that warfare that Brother Jerry's talking about and every child of God experiences. The flesh is still mighty, it's still alive. This body, though it is reckoned dead in the sight of God, and remember that, God reckons that dead. That monster that you carry around with you, sin in the flesh, is dead. As far as God's concerned. And all the arrows that he slings at you and all the fiery darts he throws at you, they can't touch your real self. They can torment you in this world, but they can't touch that child of God. Just can't do it. Because you died to that, and your old man was put to death at Calvary. It's a dead man that's hanging all that, that's doing all that. All right, so we can aim at that. We ought to aim at that. We want to aim at that. And every child of God, his will, his most desire is to be conformed to Jesus Christ. Every child of God wants his or her identity to be lost in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want our will to be bent to his will. Our walk to be bent to his walk. We want to be as he is in this world. And in God's sight, we are. in God's sight we are. Now look at 1 John. I want to go look at 1 John 15. 1 John 5:15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man... It's 4. John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Who lives in your house? The God of glory. You're his house. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. In God's sight, in God's reckoning, in God's dealings, as Jesus Christ is, so are we. As Jesus Christ is in glory, so are we in this world. All right, remember, and I know you know this, this is the Word of God. This is what God is saying to us. This is what Christ is now speaking to us. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and all meekness, with all longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Because we all have these inward struggles. There's things in us that we would not have to be, that other people see as well as us. And so we ought to put up with one another. You folks ought to put up with me. Hard as that is. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. And that means to say there's just one body. And that one body has the truth of Christ embedded in its soul.
Yeah.
In the gospel.
Yeah.
That's what they believe. That's what identifies them. That's what separates them from this world and completely separates them from this religious world.
Amen.
There's one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. And that's to be conformed to the image, perfectly conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And get to be with him and look on his face to eternity. And worship and be glad in him. There's one Lord. One faith. There's one body of truth. One doctrine of Christ. That is the truth. That is implanted. That is written on the hearts of the people of God. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all his people, who is above all and through all and in you all. That is, in all those members of the body of Christ. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, our gifts, faith, love, hope, joy, peace, temperance, long-suffering, all those things, are given to us according to the infinite wisdom and the eternal purpose of God according to the measure of Christ. Now, he doesn't give to the foot the gifts that are necessary to the operation of the eye. He gives the gifts that are necessary and in the amount that is necessary to our place in the body. Mm-hmm. And this body has comely parts and less comely parts, according to the word of God that Brother Jerry read to us earlier. But it's all one body in Christ, and all share in the same glory.
Amen.
Which is the mediatorial glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now let's see, where are we at? Endeavoring to keep the unity. There's one body and one spirit. All right, we got through that. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. All of those enemies of the church that held us captive, he led them captive. He came to set free captives.
Amen.
I came to set the captives free to open the prison house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, them in prison are not free, according to so the Free Will Baptists get off on their own foot from the first word. Free. They're not free. But he came to set free the captives, and he led our captivity that held us captives. But we still have sin in the members.
Yeah.
And it's a continual reminder to us that it's Christ Jesus that is our life.
Yeah.
If he leaves us to ourselves for one moment, we'll fall.
Amen. That's true.
He is our life. And our peace and our joy, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption, he's our all. So we can never depend on self for anything. Therefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Well, he's going to tell us here in just a few minutes what the gifts are. Now, that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. That's Christ Jesus. He descended to the earth, and then he descended into the grave, into the lower parts of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He's all in all. He's the head over all things to the church. He is the federal head.
Amen.
Of his church.
Amen.
And he gave, here's what he gave. He gave some apostles and some prophets or preachers, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. And here's the reason that he gave these men. But not only that, but the men, he gifted the men. He gave them the measure of the gift of Christ that they might fill their appointment in the office that he placed them.
Yeah.
An apostle, he gave the gifts of an apostle. But the office of apostle is now ceased, so the gifts that went with the office of apostle are no more as they were in that office.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. And here's why. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, that one new man, which is Christ mystical, the head and the body joined together in one. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, we are predestined before the foundation of this world to be conformed to the image of Christ. And by the operation of the various gifts in the church, God is moving all of his members to that predestinated end, which is conformation to the image of Christ. That henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. We're going to be conformed to his perfectly to his image. Now here's my apprehension of this. We'll retain our personality. But all of the perfections of Christ, save his Godhead, we're never going to be Christ. Christ personal. We'll never be God, but we are the children of God. We are the sons and daughters of God. But there's only one Lord Jesus Christ, and we are in his mystical body, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Well, the apostles needed to do the apostles' job, and they did. Prophets needed to do their job, and they did. Pastors need to do their job, and they do. That which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure in every part, according to the measure of grace that Christ has given to every member, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, that's what's going on right here this morning. We are the body of Christ, and we come together and we preach the Scripture, and we hear the Scripture, and we are confirmed in the faith, and we grow, and God adds to us some spiritual gift. Look at Romans 1. Romans 1:11. For I long to see you. Now this is the Apostle Paul speaking here, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Well, that's the desire of every pastor, the desire of every preacher, to impart to the body of Christ some spiritual gift or some increase in knowledge of the Son of God, that we might grow in grace in him according to that increase in knowledge. In other words, that we might be edified and understand more of our being in Christ. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established in grace, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk no more as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, having these truths set before us in the preaching of the gospel and in the written word of God and implanted in our hearts by the Spirit, and us knowing that it's the truth, then we ought not to walk in the blindness, and as if we were in darkness as the world walks. We know this world's going to be burned. We know it's going to be perished. We know that everything out there is dust and temporal. And we are looking for eternal things. We must endure the afflictions of this life for a little while. And it ain't easy. It's not easy. But it's worth it. We know that it's worth it. And it's talking about the blind, because of the blindness of their who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth, as in Jesus. Put ye off as concerning the former conversation or manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to his deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now that new creature that's in us, that spirit that is born of the spirit, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, always going to be flesh, never will be nothing but flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It is created in righteousness and true holiness. And guess what? You can't see him. He's hidden from your eyes. He's the hidden man of the heart. All you see is what's outward. That dead man that you have to drag around with you through this world. That's all you see. But God has created a new creature in righteousness and true holiness, and he is in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who God sees. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for ye are the members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not your sun go down on your wrath, neither give ye place to the devil. For we know how he works. We know how he attacks. We know, and not only we, but God knows. God knows how he attacks us. And God knows who it is that attacks us. And God still cherishes us. Because we are his work. That new man created in Christ Jesus in righteousness and true holiness, that is the creation of God. Ephesians 2:10. Look at that. For we are his workmanship. Whose? God's. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We didn't make ourselves what we are. God did. And God knows what temptations and afflictions we endure in this world. And he's given us a great high priest who can sympathize with us as we bear the afflictions of the gospel. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. I'm back in Ephesians 4, verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God through unbelief. Believe God. Believe His Word. It's Christ that speaks to us through the Scriptures. And He says to us, you're mine. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I gave myself for you, and I will bring you to glory. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I think it's verse 3. Look at this. Oh my goodness, look at this. 2 Corinthians 13:3. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. Christ speaks through His appointed preachers. And he speaks to us by the Word. And the Spirit confirms that in our hearts as truth, the Spirit of truth. Now, the Corinthians, false preachers have gone out and said, well, that Apostle Paul, all right, Paul, you don't have to pay much attention to him because he wasn't even with Christ. He didn't walk with Him. And so they sought to destroy His gospel and His ministry to the people. So Paul said, well, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, and my point to you is, Christ speaks to us through the Scriptures as it is rehearsed in our hearing in the preaching of the gospel, whether it's me or Brother Jerry, Brother Mark, Bill, whoever. It's Christ speaking to us from the Scriptures. Preach the Scriptures. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Christ speaks to us through His Word. Look at Isaiah 59:5. I'd like to just bring this in right here. Isaiah 59:21. I think this is a beautiful portion of Scripture. Isaiah 59:21. As for me, now this is our Lord speaking. He said, this is my determination. This is how it's going to be. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit, which is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forever. The Word and the Spirit are going to be with His church for eternity. And it is by the Word and the Spirit that He gathers His people. The Holy Spirit plants His Word in our heart, and it molds our souls into the image of the Word. And we are changed from image to image and from glory to glory as by the working of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what's happening. The Lord is changing us into that same image and from glory to glory as He works in us by the preaching of the gospel and the Spirit applying it to our hearts, making effectual to us the Word of God. Back to Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. If you believe the gospel, if you believe in your heart of hearts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then God has sealed you. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God unto the day of redemption. And He is our earnest. He is the first installment of all that glory that shall follow, and the pledge of all of the inheritance of grace. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen.